Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
So we are having some difficulty getting hold of Anthony Reich, but I think what we are going to do is see if I can get hold of him this way. Anthony, good morning. Are you there? Yep, we can, not perfect, but we certainly can. How are you doing?
Yes, trying to get on top of the new Trump era. And for those of you who think that we should know what to expect because we've been here before, I'm not sure that we do really know what to expect. And perhaps that's part of some of the trepidation that some of us feel. But President Trump was determined to make a statement yesterday during his inauguration ceremony, and of course along during the course of his day of inauguration. It was noticeable that Israeli released hostages were present in the form of Noam Arghamani and others who were very, very behind the president as he stood in that hall. And the yellow scarves, I think, were the thing that really drew the attention to them. And I think it was a great gesture for them to be there, very, very visible with the yellow scarves. And then the president cancelled a whole bunch of legislation that had been enacted by President Joe Biden. One of the revocations that he made on his list of revocations was a bill that had been put in place to sanction people and activities in the Judea and Samaria, in the West Bank area. And it's interesting to read the Joe Biden law that had been put in place, which spoke about high levels of extremist settler violence, forced displacement of people in villages and property destruction that had apparently reached intolerable levels and constituted a threat to peace and security. That was the word. Those were the words of the Joe Biden bill that was yesterday cancelled by President Trump. He decided that there would be no relevance to putting sanctions on people who live in the West Bank area because of violence and because of intolerable security threats that arise as a result of that. So already some action on the part of President Trump, and I'm sure that this is going to be an interesting ride.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Hopefully a positive one. The body of IDF soldier Oron Shaul was brought home from Gaza for burial. That was yesterday. So how was the body returned?
So it was quite interesting that Oron Shaul's body, which was kidnapped by Hamas in Gaza during Operation Protective Edge in July of 2014, so more than 10 years ago, he was a soldier in the Golani Brigade, and there was an incident where a Golani vehicle in Gaza was blown up by one of those anti-tank missiles that are often used by Hamas. There were a number of people who were killed, number of soldiers who were killed in that incident, including Oron Shaul, except that his body was actually taken by Hamas and has been held by Hamas since 2014 until Saturday night. And according to the announcement that came from the IDF, this repatriation of this body of Oron Shaul was as a result of decades of intelligence and ultimately an operation that was mounted in Gaza on Saturday night, just hours before the ceasefire came into effect. Soldiers from the IDF, including soldiers from the Golani Brigade, who were particularly brought there to Gaza for the purpose of bringing Oron Shaul home, members of his own brigade, came along to Gaza to pick up his body and to bring it home for burial. Unfortunately, his father, who died in 2016, did not live to see his son returned home. And it was fitting that yesterday Oron was buried next to his father. in the grave right next to him, and it was President Isaac Herzog and a number of other ministers and members of Knesset, along, of course, with the family, who were in Poria Elit at the cemetery yesterday to finally allow Oron Shaul to be buried at home. And his mother was saying that she was woken up in the early hours of Sunday morning, first of all by a phone call to say that she should be ready for a visit by the members of the security forces. And I think the call came at like 4 a.m., which is every parent's nightmare to receive a call at that hour of the morning. But on this occasion, although it was extremely sad because, of course, Oron was not brought home alive, but there was some joy that we finally managed to bring him home and to allow him to rest in peace alongside his father. And there was an announcement as well by Chief of General Staff Herzi Halevi, who reiterated the IDF's commitment to bring all of our soldiers and all of our hostages home. And that was demonstrated in Oron being brought home for burial. And of course, we look forward to the same kavod, the same respect being given to Hadar Goldin, that he also was kidnapped. His body was kidnapped around that same time, and that he should also be brought home to be buried at home.
Anthony, I know it's a terrible, terrible question, but if I'm thinking it, I have no doubt that my listeners are as well. Have these bodies been buried? Are they being when Israel is retrieving a body like this that has been there for some years? How do they know where it is? Is it documented where it is? What does it look like? Not the body, but what does the situation look like?
We were not given a lot of information about where exactly the body was found and what state it was found in. There was one little snippet, though, which I think shines a little light. And the snippet that I read was that the body had been moved around quite a lot during the course of the 10 or 11 years that it was held in Gaza. So whether it was moved and then buried and then moved and then buried or wasn't buried at all, I have really no idea, and I haven't seen any information about this. But the fact that the intelligence has been following this for so long gives me reason to believe that there is documentation, that Hamas does know what they're doing, and they're doing things with a certain deliberate action. In other words, they know that they're moving the body, they know why they're moving it, it's documented, they're people who are responsible for looking after it. This is not just something which says, oh, it's a dead IDF soldier, let's throw him over there and forget about him. That apparently is not the case at all. Apparently, this is something which is very deliberate, which is moved around in order to try to throw the Israeli intelligence off the track. There is a certain deliberate action that goes along with this.
The hostages, of course, came back on Sunday. How do we know? Do we know how they're doing? What do we hear?
Well, we're still getting quite good reports about their general state of being and their general state of health. And I wanted to share with listeners just one or two little stories that have come out since the hostages being released. The first of which is that we understand that they actually were exposed to certain news reports, and they did know about the fights that their families had mounted for their release. And I feel a little better, a little stronger, knowing that they knew while in captivity that there was this massive battle going on across Israel and across the world for their release. So they were exposed to some of the news items. And there are quite a number of stories of Romy and Emily, who had apparently been kept together and then separated and kept together again in different locations. Romy is a trained medic, and Romy helped to take care of Emily's hand because, as we know, she had her fingers shot off, and apparently she was also shot in the leg. So Romy, as a trained medic, helped Emily just to keep her general health going. And that we are told that they were given some basic medical care during their time in Gaza. Emily, on the other hand, and we're now being exposed to this reality, that Emily was actually a border police soldier. And that piece of information was not made public before her release because there was a fear that it might well disrupt her being released, because we do know that the IDF soldiers, even the girls, are on a slightly lower level of priority in terms of release. It's going to take a little longer for them to be released than the civilians. And so Emily was kept on the civilian list and was never divulged that she was a border police soldier, albeit not a serving border police soldier. But along with that came a certain training and a certain resilience and a certain survival instinct, which I think served her incredibly well during the time that she was in Gaza, and also helped her to keep Romy's spirits up, because, as I say, the two of them seemed to be kept together. And one of the things that was so noticeable for me, and I don't know if the listeners also noticed this when we saw the first pictures of the released hostages, but the first girl who came out was Romy, and she had her hair braided. And it looked very, very neatly done.
Yes,
like she'd sort of gone along to a hairdresser to get ready for the release. And we are being told that the braiding of the hair, it seemed to me a little cynical and a little eerie, that she was coming out of Gaza so neatly turned out with her hair properly done and everything. And we understand that the braiding of the hair was done by other Israeli hostages who knew that these girls were being released and prepared them for their release.
Wow.
And
sure.
And the braiding of the hair was sort of a sign that was sent to their families to say, this is a piece of me coming out with these girls as they prepared them for the release. And we understand that the IDF soldiers, the female IDF soldiers, were the ones who got these girls ready. They were only told on Sunday morning that they were going to be released. And then the hair was braided. And we noticed that some of the other hostages who were released previously also had their hair braided. And this is like a little sign that we're getting from those hostages who have remained in Gaza for their parents.
Unbelievable. That's where we leave it. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. We'll catch you tomorrow morning at 7:45.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.